Let's open with hymn number 331. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Amen.
I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
Merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserved thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you, and in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Turn thee unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Having suffered ourselves to be led away from the right path by Satan and our own sinful flesh. We beseech thee graciously to forgive us all our sins for the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and quicken our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may abide in thy word and in true repentance and a steadfast faith, continue in thy church unto the end, and obtain eternal salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson is found in the 12th chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 6th verse. And in that day thou shalt say, O Lord, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. Therefore with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation, and in that day shall ye say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his doings among the people, make mention that his name is exalted. Sing unto the Lord, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the 5th chapter of 1 Peter, the 6th through the 11th verse. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered for a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. He hath delivered my soul in peace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Hallelujah. For this day is found in the 15th chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 10th verse. Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness, and go after that which was lost, until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Here ends the gospel. Praise. now confess the Christian faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, and the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen. We sing hymn number 326. Grace, mercy, and peace in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text is found in the fourth chapter of Isaiah, the second through the sixth verse. In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel. And it shall come to pass that he that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy, even everyone that is written among the living in Jerusalem. When the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment, and by the spirit of burning, and the Lord will create upon every dwelling place of Mount Zion, and upon her assemblies, a cloud and smoke by day, and the shining of a flaming fire by night. For all the glory shall be a defense. And there shall be a tabernacle for shadow in the daytime from the heat, and for a place of refuge, and for a covert from storm and from rain. Here ends our text. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, these are thy words. Let them comfort us with the sure knowledge of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. It is for good reason that the Scriptures, and Jesus in particular, uses the analogy of sheep and shepherds to describe the relationship between Christ and his people, the elect of the Lord. A shepherd is the ultimate example of a benevolent ruler. He governs every aspect of the lives of the sheep. He shows them what to eat and drink, where to sleep. He guides them from place to place, deciding where they will shelter or in which fields they will pasture. He defends them from wolves and other dangerous beasts. Most of the time, he guides them merely by his voice, and they know that voice and follow it. But when a sheep has other ideas and tries to wander off, he may need to chasten him, but only so much that he learns to follow him again, lest he be lost to wolves or die of starvation. The sheep are known by their shepherd, each one of them. And so long as they remain with him, they are secure and they are comforted. All men want that kind of security, but most would like to have it without having a shepherd to provide it. It is that kind of security that our Lord Jesus offers to us, his church, when he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." It is that kind of security that men naturally think they do not need nor want. But even for those sheep, for those people who know that they need a Lord and Master such as him, they would like to have the benefits of such a shepherd, even when they can no longer hear his voice, even when they no longer even know the comfort that he brings. I bring up that verse especially because it's often used to say that those who are in Christ Jesus today cannot possibly fall away tomorrow. That even if a man were to wander off, he cannot really be lost. He must always come back. If he does not, then he was never really in Christ Jesus to begin with. Now, at first you might think that this kind of security is good and desirable. But I would ask you to reconsider what that would really mean. If this is so, that those who fall away were never saved to begin with, how can any man ever be comforted and secure in the knowledge of Jesus Christ? Men and women, children, even close family and friends do leave Christ. Our Lord seeks them out like the lost sheep, and he brings many of them back, But there are others who are persistent in their wandering and will not return, and they do die in unbelief. We remember them when they were among us, Sunday after Sunday, when they faithfully heard the word of Jesus and glorified him and received the forgiveness of sins and spoke of their Lord. They were baptized in his name, and they confirmed their baptism before us all when they were confirmed. Was it all a lie? Did they not truly believe to begin with? Did the promise of baptism which God has given to us and to our children happen to fail in their case? If that is so, then who is to say that our faith, or any faith, is real? Perhaps as much as we think we believe in Jesus, we really don't, and we too will fall away because we were never saved to begin with. On the old maps, before the world had been explored, at those unexplored edges in the oceans, the cartographers sometimes wrote, "Here there be dragons." And so we might say the same thing regarding this wretched idea of the perseverance of the saints, or as it is often called today, once saved, always saved. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not teach us to be uncertain, but secure in the knowledge of our gracious and merciful God, who dwells among us with his divine presence, protecting us like a shepherd by day and by night, assuring us always that we are his dear ones and that no one can take us out of his hand. That is the comforting word which Isaiah has spoken in the 4th chapter which we just heard. In all the scriptures, you will never find a word to tell you to doubt that you are redeemed of the Lord, to question whether you are really and truly saved or whether you have a gracious God. Always the Lord comforts. All that brings doubt is not of God, but the fruit of the devil. It is a fruit that is eaten whenever men believe a lie, and if the lie is not countered by the antidote, which is the truth of God's word, the lie will grow and breed more lies until finally it brings death. And so it is with this lie called once saved, always saved. If it is truly believed, like the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, it is comely to look upon, but it finally brings death. For if it is fully believed, it will lead only to one of two possible results. It will either make men secure in their sins so that they no longer repent and believe in Christ, or it will lead them to despair because they can never be sure whether their faith is real or just self-delusion. So as much as men might think that that is true security, it is a false security, which the devil has pawned off upon so many Christians. Don't be deceived, nor let the comfort of Christ be robbed from you. For God offers you true security, one that is not built on doubt, but upon the sure promises of his word. Let us consider the real security which the elect of God have in the hands of our Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet begins, "In that day shall the branch of the Lord be beautiful and glorious, and the fruit of the earth shall be excellent and comely for them that are escaped of Israel." There is your security. The branch is Christ Jesus, which sprang up from Jesse's root. He is the Lord's branch because the Father in heaven is his Father from eternity. But he is also the fruit of the earth, for he was born of a virgin, a natural-born son of man. And therefore, the Lord Jesus is both God and man. Those who look upon him are the remnant of Israel. All those who still believe in the Lord, no matter how small a minority they may be among the thousands and millions of this world, they find him to be excellent and comely. That is, that he's filled with majesty. He is beautiful to behold. He does not frighten. He always comforts. He comes to serve and to be a shepherd to these, his people. Everything about him is a delight for the children of God, because he is the source of every good thing. Here then is the difference between the true security and the counterfeit. The counterfeit, once saved, always saved, is nothing but an arbitrary decision of God. It is built on nothing but his whim. It has no connection at all to his boundless compassion for sinners and his desire that they be saved. That is why it is not a true security. It is a counterfeit. Our true security, the foundation of our salvation, is in Christ Jesus alone. It is pure and unending grace built upon the cross of Christ. It can no more be taken away from you than the cross of Christ can be wiped from history. He makes it sure by his presence among us, day and night. He is not there because we are righteous enough, but because we are sinners. He is there so that he might make us holy by washing away the filth of our sins and purging us from dead works by the power of his Spirit. So it is that Isaiah finds in the work of Christ the reason for the holiness of God's people. He that is left in Zion, and he that remaineth in Jerusalem, shall be called holy. Every one that is written among the living in Jerusalem, when the Lord shall have washed away the filth of the daughters of Zion, and shall have purged the blood of Jerusalem from the midst thereof, by the spirit of judgment and by the spirit of burning. Those who are in Zion are the elect. That is, as it describes them here, all those whose names are written among the living. That is, in the book of life. They are the true Israel, no matter which nation of the earth bore them. The Lord says they are holy. And their holiness is not just something that God has announced, as if he would just wave a magic wand and cause all their sins to disappear along with their punishment. In fact, they do not come to their Lord as holy, but as sinners. He receives them as sinners because it is only from sinners that he washes away the filth of sin. The Pharisees expected that if Jesus were truly the Messiah, he would have nothing to do with sinners. But that is like saying that a real shepherd should have nothing to do with sheep. If Jesus came to wash away sin and to purge the blood from Jerusalem, then he has to start with sinful people. Otherwise, he cannot make them clean. Otherwise, they would not need him at all. And therefore, he begins with sinners and he washes them. He washed the children of Israel in the Red Sea when they crossed over into the Sinai wilderness. He washes us in the waters of baptism. And in either case, the washing is not merely the cleansing of our bodies, but of our heart and of our conscience. For by the cross of Jesus, God has laid our sins upon his Son. And by the grave from which he rose, God has buried them forever, so that we too will rise in holiness and righteousness forever. Here is the foundation of our security, that God in Christ Jesus has washed away all our sins. But you might ask, how do I know that that means me? How do I know that he washed away my sins? Put those thoughts away. And just simply believe what Jesus declares. He came into the world to save sinners. Are you a sinner? Then he came to save you. All your blood debt of sin is purged away. For the Lord so judged his Son guilty by pouring down his burning wrath upon him. He calls it the spirit of judgment and the spirit of burning. His burning wrath. This was not yours to bear. It was his. Because it is by this that he makes you holy. He paid the price and you received the benefit. But does this make you truly secure? Can you not fall away? Indeed you can. No man can pluck you out of the hand of God, but like the lost sheep in Jesus' parable, you can wander away, as many have done. Does this mean that the salvation of Christ is not secure or certain? By no means. If you are in a secure fortress and you willingly leave it, then you walk away from a sure and certain defense. Christ is still there. Even though you or one of the other sheep might have left him, God is still gracious. He's still full of compassion for you. He has not taken away Christ from you. His cross is still effective to forgive your sins. Christ Jesus is still there, not just waiting for his lost sheep to return, but seeking him out to bring him back to the fold so that he might rejoice along with all the angels of heaven. Jesus has promised that he will never leave you nor forsake you. He is always with his church. Wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, he is there in their midst. He is the pillar of smoke by day and the pillar of fire by night among his people. For though we cannot see that particular sign with our eyes, as did the children of Israel when the Lord rescued them from Egypt, he is just as present and visible among us and our constant defense. We can hear his word. We can see his sacraments. Together they are the pillars of smoke and fire. That is where his glory is displayed among us, so that we can be certain that he will defend us until the end. That he will never cease to be our Savior. He will never cease to give an answer when Satan accuses us of our sins. The burning wrath of God threatens all the children of men because men by nature are lost and actively in rebellion against God. The day of wrath when heaven and earth pass away will be a day of burning and fire. Malachi says that the day is coming which shall burn like an oven. All the proud and all the wicked will be like stubble which is set to a flame. But those who believe on the name of the Lord will be sheltered from the heat. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings. Or as Isaiah describes him, he will be a tabernacle to them, a booth or shelter which will protect them from God's burning wrath. No storm or rain shall sweep them away. The flood which once wiped out nearly the entire human race because of their sins will not touch those who are in Christ Jesus. They are safe, secure, for they are in his hand. Who can possibly snatch them away? No one. That, dear friends, is true security. Not some arbitrary decision by God. Not something found in your character or works. It is in Christ Jesus alone. Therefore, cling to your Savior, and he shall never let you perish. Cherish his voice, and there shall never be a day when he remains silent. Always he will comfort you and speak words of peace into your heart, giving you the abiding assurance that you are his forever. May God grant that we sinners might find such secure comfort in Christ Jesus alone. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.
O Lord, our God, our strength and our joy, who by delivering Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, to the death of the cross, and raising him into glory, didst bring us life and immortality. We praise thee for thy manifold mercies. We thank thee for the manifold gifts which thou hast given us in body and soul, at home and work, in the world which thou hast created. Especially do we glorify thee for thy Son, Jesus Christ, in whom thou hast provided for us the full remission of all our sins, the strength to overcome all evil and temptation, and the assurance of eternal life. Grant, as there is joy in the presence of thine angel over one sinner that repents, we may confess our transgressions before thee. Forgive us our iniquity. Turn thine anger away and comfort us by thy compassion. Help us in all the temptations and trials of our faith, that we might resist the prince of this world, and so be preserved from all evil. Endow thy church with a zeal for her holy calling, to seek the lost, to raise the fallen, comfort the brokenhearted, and heal the afflicted. Enable her pastors and missionaries to courageously proclaim the word of life, that the nations might hear thy mighty judgments and thine endless love for sinners. Let the nations know that thou art the only true God, and that thou dost sit in all the councils of men and rule in the midst of them, ordaining their rule or taking it away. Grant, therefore, that they may learn to fear thy name and rule with honesty and integrity. Dwell in our homes that our households might trust wholly in thee, and to have a perfect love toward each other, until the day when thou wilt call us from our earthly homes to ever live together with thee in heaven. Bless all who are in any need of body or soul, and grant that they may humble themselves under thy mighty hand, so that thou mayest exalt them in due time. Assure them of thine endless mercy. O God of all grace, who hast called us unto eternal glory by the mercies of Christ, strengthen, chasten, renew, and perfect us. Hear our prayer in the name of Jesus, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We sing hymn 324.
Oh,
Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God. It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, saying, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. We sing hymn number 51.
Supposed to be 51.
51. Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.